Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlin, and my sister Kix. Hi, Kix.
Hi.
What a week again.
Here we are. So somehow it's the end of the week, and somehow we still have constant hot goss coming through the Bravo channel.
Constant hot goss. We just recorded our reaction trailer, a reaction to the Beverly Hills trailer that dropped this evening. And wowee, woo, 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 wow, wow. I don't want to talk about it too much because then it will then reveal our thoughts when you watch it. But sure. Expect a reaction video this weekend because it's a mess. And all I'm going to say is Kathy. I mean, I think I'm a Kathy Stan.
She's earning that diamond.
Am I a Kathy Stan?
Are you a Kathy Stan?
Pull up in the Caribou Club like, what?
It looks electric for a season that was a flop for me. So,
well, the thing is, like, the season became good when Kathy showed up. Which
was so bizarre because you and I were both like, we don't need her.
Yeah, totally. But the problem was we realized quickly that, and you know what? Maybe we got played by the Hilton machine, and I'm okay if I did get played by them. But like, to me, Kathy Hilton did not do anything outside of the realm of things that other housewives do on other programs.
No, she did not.
And Lisa Rinna got caught with egg on her face.
Ugh. We're really just diving straight in. I have no weather news on my end, no life news.
I was hoping we wouldn't even talk about the weather, yet here we are.
But let's dive in, because this episode, once again, for a season that I kind of really hated, this last episode, I feel like if you didn't watch the season at all, you could watch this episode and be like, got it. What an incredible season. Of one episode.
That's hard to hear because, you know, we have been sitting here relentlessly covering it since May of 2022.
Which I don't like to think about, you know.
Can you think?
I don't.
We've talked about this for 20 weeks. There's 52 weeks in a year. I will have almost talked about it for 6 months by the time it comes
this
to an end.
This season has been on for as long as my life. And I am almost 29 years old. It's been, I don't even know what happened, to be honest. And like, the only thing that's happened this season in my mind is Aspen trip and Dorit's horrible home invasion. What else happened?
Yeah, and everywhere in between felt like a fever dream. Yeah. Like, we watched a show for like 15 weeks there.
Yeah. I saw every episode.
What did happen, actually?
I don't know.
Well, I guess Diana and Sutton. That took up a big chunk in the middle.
Oh, fuck that bitch. I don't know who Diana is. I'm glad she's not at the reunion.
Jeffrey Epstein associate.
She can go suck on a, I don't know, to make her lips bigger. Whatever.
Speaking of Diana and then Jeffrey Epstein, there's a new Prince Andrew doc that I want to watch.
Oh, good.
It just dropped on Peacock. Should I?
Yeah.
Sadly, it's a yes for me on that one.
What a perfect time for it to come out. It's like, here's all these horror documentaries and let's add like a true crime horror documentary about a prince.
And I know that a lot of them are redundant. And I actually, did you watch Dahmer yet? Are you going to?
No, I will. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of letting the ish die down a little bit.
Yeah. I understand the frustration with it because it's there are so many. And the thing is, did you listen to, so I think. Yeah, it was Up and Vanished. You're familiar with Up and Vanished, like the podcast?
Yeah. Yes.
And not the final season, but the last season they did this whole series on the native people of this country that just disappear and no one talks about. Mm-hmm. And there's ways to make true crime like also informative and revealing, which is kind of what
and
it
useful.
Was in the beginning, right? Like in the beginning of like even Serial, Adnan is out now, you know, like it kind of did what it wanted to do. But when we're revisiting these like trauma, it's like trauma porn, you know, like
for black and brown people. And
right.
That's like what
it's kind of
really,
weird. And, yeah. But Ryan Murphy does not have his finger on the pulse of anything.
We will talk offline, honey, because
Why
I
offline?
Have some I have some boots on the ground.
Oh, about Miss Murphy?
Miss Murphy being a she.
I still did you see the trailer for American Horror Story NYC, which I am quickly calling American not. Horror Story Monkeypox, because it literally, the whole trailer is essentially like a disease.
I genuinely didn't even know that was happening.
The new season is called AHS NYC.
So.
And the trailer dropped and it literally looks like it should have just been titled AHS Monkeypox.
Like, I don't know.
Please, Ryan, you are insufferable.
We also have so much. Why do we need more Jeffrey Dahmer content? Like, if you're curious about him, there's a million fucking places to read about him.
There are so many documentaries.
Also, like, if you've never heard of him before, open your eyes and your earballs and where have you been?
He's the one that eats people.
And why are we making another thing about him? It's just like, there was a movie last year. It's like, we get it. He was a lot of people's intrigue. Wait, it was a movie last year? Yeah, there was a movie or maybe a TV series last year about it.
Well,
it's like, come on, dude. Like,
I will say, in terms of Ryan Murphy, I think he thrives better in these like biopic formats than he does in the original stories, because his original stories go rogue and he has too many ideas. When he has to abide by history, he can't go rogue. So, because I really liked Halston a lot. I thought it was so good.
I haven't watched a lot of his recent stuff. I think that, like, American Horror Story, the early ones were so fucking good. Mm-hmm. Like, the first one was incredible. Mm-hmm. The Coven was incredible. Like, those moments, and then he got his head got too big for his britches or whatever the fuck that saying is. But
that is not it, because that makes it sound like the dick's too big for the britches.
He wishes, I think, but I don't know. Head's
too big for your britches. It's too big for your britches. Which is, I feel like that's just a phrase that dad says. I don't think that's something people say.
No, that's a phrase. Too big for your
Sound off in the comments if you're familiar with too big. Because what's a britch?
Your britches are your, like, pants.
I know, but, like, when you really say that one singular word back to yourself and you feel like you're having an existential crisis, like a britch?
Like, you wouldn't say pant, just like you wouldn't say britch.
You do say pant, though.
Where does britches come from?
It just pulls up a video of dad being on a YouTube being like, britches is when you do...
You see, breeches come from the old English word breeches, which simply means trousers.
Breeches.
Great.
Too big for your head's too big for your breeches.
Your head's too big for your breeches.
Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew.
That man does not. I'm positive his head is not too, big. Too small for the breeches.
Well, I'm glad we derailed a little bit. He doesn't have a
tiny ass dick and wears huge ass pants.
Isn't that the man with the sausage fingers?
No, that's his brother.
Charles. Brother? I thought that was his. Is that not his son?
No, baby.
Maybe both. Honestly.
No. Charles is firstborn from Queen Elizabeth, and then Prince Andrew is after that.
My cat's having an asthma attack.
And then there's Prince Albert. Yeah, it's Prince Charles. I don't know the order between Andrew and Albert, but Charles is definitely first because that's why he's king.
Cool. His fingers are huge. Maybe his fingers are too big for the gloves.
Too big to get down the breeches. Okay, well, back to Beverly Hills. So we had a really great finale. I thought that we really landed the plane. The plane has been... Yeah. Topsy-turvy in the sky, but I do feel like we landed it and it did things that I was not expecting it to do. And I will say, I am very quick to come down on Kyle, but she did a great job of finally in the 10th act of this 50 act play stand up for her sister, which I really, really appreciated to see. And it seems like in the trailer that she's doing the same.
I think so. And we give Kyle a lot of shit because she is a genius when it comes to this show. I do think in the where my mind went first was like, yes, this bitch is so smart, because not only is she going against the girls who are about to get kicked off the show, but she's also like coming out the other side being this like good guy. Right. But I this feels very genuine, like watching it and not knowing like these people personally, but yeah, it feels like this is real life for her. Like, it's not that she's just playing both sides so she can get a diamond next season, which she's going to inadvertently. But I think that, no, I think that the finale ended really amazing. We often don't get, I don't know, I feel like we don't get a finale like this where there's so much drama. Mm-hmm. Usually there's finales where it's like things, they try to like tie things in a nice bow and then come back for the reunion and break that bow in half. Right. But I don't know, I thought it was really good. Once again, for a season that I don't remember a goddamn thing that happened in, you could watch this this episode and know everything.
But I my feedback for Kyle that I wish she could hear is she's the best version of herself when she's being a good sister.
Yeah.
Because in season two, when Kim's going through all of her stuff, like, she's a good, she makes for good television when she's being a genuinely good sibling. Mm-hmm. Like, she was so, she took care of Kim in so many moments. And that's when we like her, because that feels like the real Kyle. When she's, mm-hmm. And I really think this is the end of the Fox Force flop, because, like, I think she's realizing,
I hope so.
I think she's realizing that Erica and Rinna are not good friends. Like, no. they created this group to take down Lisa Vanderpump for what? Like, in hindsight, when you think about that drama, it's just so stupid to like take her down for that, you know? And it's these friendships can't last, and I really think it's done based on that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Rinna and Kyle move on. Now, something that did come out today is that Rinna is now announced to be in attendance at BravoCon, which is surprising because that was a big thought where everyone was like, oh, she's definitely getting the axe.
I think, here's the thing. After this episode in this reunion trailer, I hope she gets the axe, but she does bring a lot of drama. I mean, that's like what Rinna's game is. You know, it's like she's good at being a reality TV star because mm-hmm. she knows how to play it. I think she's coming across horrible. Mm-hmm. I'm like, as people who've gone through a lot of traumatic shit and a lot of family members who've passed, it's like I have a hard time understanding why, just because a family member passes, that like that is a reason to be so hateful to other people.
It's not.
There's a level of hurt and emotions she's allowed to feel. Absolutely. Everybody is a right to everybody's entitled to their emotions. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. I just think that part of it is tough because I don't think people deserve such hatred when you're in pain. It's like, and that's what I think that her spin is going to be, is that she's in pain, so she's reflecting that pain.
Yeah.
But it's not fun to watch. Like, it, and that's shitty to say, as, like, she's gone through a lot of shit, and I know how close, from the TV, we know how close she was with her mom.
Yeah, it's just not, she can't look back on this time in her life and think that she's making... Well, I guess that's really mean to say, but she's not making anyone proud, is what I want to say, by like how she's acting around this. Like, if her mom was here, she would be like, get out of this mess. Like, check in on your fam. That's the one other thing, is like, your daughters have lost both of their grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
This just happened. Like, we're still, I know we watch the show week after week, right? But like, they just lost their grandparent, and you just lost your mom, and you have more family than just them that know your mom. And like be there, be the rock for people, like be an example for people. Don't victimize yourself because of this. I don't think this, I don't mean this in like the awful way it's going to sound, but I don't think her mom would love the way she's navigating this, you know? And like, her mom would want her to do better, and I want her to do better, because I hope she's not like a deplorable human being when the red light's off. But Kathy saying at the reunion that Lisa Rinna is like the what'd she say, like, is the monster of Hollywood. I mean, yeah.
I want receipts. It's not that I don't believe what she's saying. I just want to hear the other receipts are there. Situations. I mean,
Kendall Jenner was essentially like, who the fuck is Lisa Rinna?
Wait, what is that? Did she comment on it?
I don't think I can't remember if it was a spoof or not. But there was a tweet going around of, wait, let me look it up. But even take that for instance. Like, you know, Chris, literally her eyes roll back in her head when she sees
she does not give a fuck. I think that, like, the Jenners and Amelia Gray and whatever the other one's name is are friendly because they're both famous and models and have famous parents and all that kind of stuff, but right. I don't think it's that deep for I don't think it's that deep. And no, but it's also not. But that's what's so hilarious to me about Kathy this season is that the drama that we actually got from her, it was not her calling people the F word or saying other slurs to people at the club. We don't know that but.
Right. We'll never know.
Yeah. But it was that she got mad that someone ordered Kendall Jenner's tequila instead of her own. Like, that's high comedy for housewives. That's the drama we need.
Yeah.
And as Kathy Hilton haters, I'm still a hater, but she's hilarious sometimes.
Yeah, you can't deny that she doesn't make for great TV, and she's doing the assignment of housewives. That's what always pisses me off, is like when people hold their housewives to different standards. Like,
it's just not,
like, it's like, okay, so Ramona Singer can waltz around the Upper East Side just wreaking havoc. But Kathy Hilton in Beverly Hills can't navigate the same way or even just a little bit nicer. It's just the standards don't ever make sense to me. And I just think Kathy's probably not a good person, but she makes her a great housewife. So let's keep her on the show. She's not hurting anyone from that we know. Yeah, there are people we've seen hurt people, you know?
I've really turned around on her in, like, literally probably the last time I was here recording.
Yeah. We can't, like... The thing is, we can only know what we know. Like, we can't just magically know new information about her. And maybe, and I once again have said before, Rinna is right. Everything that Rinna said in that moment about, like, I think everything happened. I don't think she's lying, but I just don't think it's as big of a deal as we're to believe it is.
Yeah.
And the slur stuff, I think, was nuance added by a publicist to make it look even worse than it is.
I saw a funny tweet or Instagram something that it was like literally from two episodes ago, Erica talking to the press about the Aspen trip. Right. And I was like, wait, so what?
So the episode ends and Kyle does something. So Kyle said in her interview, Church, she's like, and I know who was talking to the press. And when she said that, I was like, oh, really? And, like, it's also, that feels so Beverly Hills, and then we won't find out, and at the reunion she won't say, and then we'll never know. Not 1 minute later, she goes, Erica, your people leaked it to the press. And I was just in love with it.
I was too, because I really think the intention was to end the filming. I think that, like, when everybody was like, I'm out. You could tell
Rinna was mic off. Her mic was off. Rinna's mic.
Yeah. Yeah, like they were leaving, they were off the door, like Kyle was getting like undressed in her diamonds and all that kind of stuff. And Sutton, so fucking good.
She's the best.
For TV. Her and Garcelle are excellent. Sutton literally walked out and goes, no. Nobody's like, leaving until we fix this.
Yeah.
Which I normally hate when housewives do that. They do that in Salt Lake this episode and it drives me fucking crazy, but this time I think that Lisa and Erica were genuinely caught off guard. They were like, wait, no, we're like unmiked, we're supposed to leave, like XYZ, this is it. And she was like, no, just answer it now. I'm like, that's what we want. We don't want to wait another week or actually another 4 weeks for them to do it at the 6-part reunion when they finally talk about it.
And that they've had 7 months to think about what they're going to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, Oh, wait. The one other thing I want to talk about. I thought the Birkin party was so fun.
It looked a blast.
I know. I mean, I would love to just be in the presence of a Birkin. I guess I have. Have you? I have been. Well, I've been to Hermes before. So I've seen them.
I haven't, but there's a new Hermes store that's literally 7 stories. And it's like, what's in all 7 floors? It boggles my mind, but good for them, I guess.
And we have a friend that used to work for Hermes. Mm-hmm. And the things that you have to go through to get the Birkin is crazy. Because he would tell us about like the lists and then how there you have are to have a so personal many scammers.
Yeah.
Who try and get on this list. You have to have
like a personal like connection with a stylist and a sales rep to like get on the list, and they have to literally call you on the telephone and be like, it's your time for a $40,000 fucking purse.
And then also we heard that there are people that will call like under pseudonyms because like they keep getting denied, and it's a whole thing.
It's stupid.
The exclusivity part of things, like, I get the appeal, but oftentimes they don't deliver on the promise.
No, the out of Hermes's bags, we're getting into bag culture. The Kelly, I get a little bit more. It's a little bit more like classic and like gorgeous to me. Uh-huh. The standard Birkin, I think, is stupid. I don't think you should spend more than $4,000 on a bag. I certainly haven't spent more than $300.
Oh, I was like, you spent $3,000 on a bag.
But it's like, why are we spending? Like, if I were to buy a bag, which I have looked and will never get there. Maybe I will.
I actually was looking at bags.
I'm in my bag moment. In my bag moment, I mean, if I buy a bag, it's going to be $300.
But see, I would save. Not
$30,000.
I would save for like $1,000. But save, like over 1,000, time.
Definitely.
Like, I'm not saying like just
there's that vintage Gucci
paycheck hits and you're like, I'm gonna spend it all on a bag. Like, I just mean
there's vintage Gucci bags that are I would actually purchase and save my money for, but that once again, it's like $1,500.
I think 15 would be my cap.
Yeah, same.
I would never go above that. Well, never in this current financial state.
I'm sure if a financial advisor
took a peek at my finances, they'd be like, you should afford Target bags.
Christina is rolling on her Rolls Royce in Dallas, Texas right now. Yes, she is. To this conversation. But I get bag culture, but I don't get Birkin culture. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, I really don't like that Birkin. There's a Birkin that Crystal has. Do you remember when Kyle walked in and was like, what's that Birkin?
The door one.
I hate those little doors. They're so ugly.
$90,000.
No, I don't. That is silly to me. I understand more jewelry than bags.
Because jewelry, yeah, I could go on for hours. But jewelry is genuinely, like, it doesn't deplete. Like, a leather bag, like, unless you're taking precious care of it, mm-hmm. will literally fall apart.
Well, when you put it that way, maybe I don't want a bag. Yeah, but I don't think all of them fall apart.
No, I just think bag culture to an extent is understandable, but past $1,500, $3,000, sure, mm-hmm. if you're there. $35,000 to $90,000 for a fucking purse.
Crazy.
To put your shit in.
To put your shit.
Literally. In. You go. Your nasty every ass girl,
shit brick that we call
every
a phone.
Girl in New York City is strolling around these streets with a Harry Styles tote.
I did not know that's, what was coming that's after
fashion.
Harry.
That's fashion.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, shit.
I'm so happy Harry Styles. For those that don't know, in New York for the past month, Harry Styles has had residency at...
Honestly, if you would have told me it was May 16th when this show also aired, I would have...
I double-checked the dates. It was like literally, I think, a month or maybe a touch longer. But at when the clock strikes 9 p.m., you see full-on women dressed like the Joker walking amongst the city.
We're
folk,
in
like,
Harry's house.
Full on pantsuits, green wigs.
Boas.
I'm like, are we...
A chunky heel.
Like, Joaquin Phoenix would fit right in at a Harry Styles concert.
Yeah.
So happy that's over.
We have friends that have gone. I've also heard this from other people too, is that at the Harry Styles concert, it's not actually enjoyable.
No,
because
can't hear
the only you can only hear people screeching at the top of their lungs. You actually can't hear him singing.
Yep. I've heard this from every single person that's
everybody.
Gone.
So enjoy it. Get your tote.
But see, I
bad culture.
Did we talk about this on the pod? I can't remember who I talked to about this. I had a real realization the other day where it's like, oh, we are old because this is Justin Timberlake. Like he like NSYNC was to us as One Direction was to these little girlies. So I kind of get it.
I love One Direction. I've been to a One Direction concert. It was fun as fuck, first of all. Second of all, I think it's a little bit different because of like how much media people can consume about Mr. Styles and especially his relationship status. And he's a movie star in Oscar movies every season. He's in two Oscar movies this year.
I would give movies. First of all, you don't know that yet. Because we don't.
I just and in the fall season. Sure.
We're not. But
he's
I know.
He's in two movies that happen when Oscar movies premiere.
But I don't think he's a movie star. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think he's not a movie star. I think he's a movie star because he's Harry Styles.
No, he's a pop star that's in movies.
Yeah. If you take one of those words out, it says movie star.
Like, so. I know you're going to hate what I'm about to say, but J-Lo is a movie star.
No, she's not.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I think she's a movie star. I don't think she's a pop star in movies.
I actually fully disagree.
You think she's a pop star?
I think she is a pop star in movies. She is not an actress.
Did you see Hustlers?
I loved Hustlers, but she was playing J-Lo as J-Lo in Hustlers.
Could you play J-Lo as J-Lo in Hustlers?
No, because that would be cultural appropriation. So,
could you play Kix as Kix in Hustlers?
No, because I can't speak in front of people. So
I think it's pretty hard to do what she did. So I don't think we should cut her short from that.
So we're going to give her an Oscar for swinging on a pole.
She was so much more than... You're really degrading her in that.
I loved that movie.
You just sounded like a boomer. You were like, we're just going to give her an Oscar for swinging on a pole.
I just am
Is
a,
that a
to
Breitbart
my core,
sign you have up behind you?
Shut up. To my core, I am a J-Lo hater.
You are.
Yeah.
Which is... Is it racially motivated? Is it what
it's
is
not.
Anti-women? What is it?
The one movie I do love her in is Selena, of course. She's a
Which
star
I've never seen.
What?
We've done this so many times.
Okay.
I've never seen it. It's a big point of contention in my relationship. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm speechless.
Who else is a movie star? I'm trying to think of another. Oh, I think Lady Gaga is a movie star. I don't think she's a pop star in movies. I think she showed herself as a movie star in. I think she is the only good person in House of Gucci, truly.
Agreed.
She showed up to work every day and gave what everyone else should have been giving, and no one showed up. Everyone showed up to the circus.
That was a Ryan Murphy movie that should have been directed.
1000%. Okay,
I
so.
Think, oh,
go
okay,
ahead.
Sorry. I could have. We can keep going, but no.
Well, I want to hop over to Salt Lake City because I have a lot of
Please.
Thoughts about this episode. So, first of all, big energy of love and hugs to Whitney. She's really doing a lot on television that is hard to do. And I hope she has a very strong support system around her to go through all this stuff. And she's doing a lot of things that a lot of people are scared to do on TV. So I just want to give our energy to her because she needs that.
Yeah, let alone, I mean, she's doing something people don't do on TV. She's also doing something people don't do in real life. So, I mean,
yes, that's a good
There's
a
lot
point.
Of reason to send energy and hugs and all of those positive things people do. Mm-hmm. I think that this episode was, I laughed, I cried.
All of
I felt all of these emotions. I once again, cut back to two episodes of our podcast later when I told Tom I was not excited for the season. I think this season is really excellent.
It's great. I like it so much better than... Here's my issue with season two is that it was so much... They were on the heels of being like a hit, right? And they were like mm-hmm. so into their egos and everything. Now
they all went through the season two slump together. They did.
And now we're actually in a place where things are happening that feel authentic. And there is a wild, wild situation being played out that is not being fully talked about yet. But the way we're seeing like the cracks in the Heather Whitney stuff from the top, from the first episode to this mm-hmm. episode to what's to come is one of the more interesting like friendship failures and that we've had in a long time.
Because I would say for them, it's there's such an interesting dynamic because I would say that they're friends first, family second. And I don't mean that in a shady way. I just genuinely think that they are really, really good friends. And they were like, oh shit, we're also related.
Yeah.
And so now we're seeing these.
Well, actually, I don't know that I agree with you. I think really? That, I think you're missing a part of it. I think they were like lightly friends and then found out they were family and became best friends because of the family. But in reality, yeah, sure. like maybe they don't have as much going on together as
we're seeing such interesting emotions and reactions coming from Heather and Whitney's moments throughout the three episodes that we've seen. I think that her response and revulsion, is that even a word? That's a word.
I don't know.
Like feeling...
Her breeches?
Her breeches. Her breach from Whitney like fully denouncing Mormonism and getting her name taken off the roster, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah,
her reaction to that, her reaction to Whitney talking about her past trauma, it's all been really shocking to Heather. Every time we've seen Heather react to Whitney, literally just three fucking episodes, every reaction has been shock and not necessarily support going along with that.
Well, so here's what I think is happening. I think that Heather, first of all, Heather's ego has gotten way too big. We saw this season one reunion, but her going from fan of Housewives to now fan favorite on Housewives has gone to her cabeza, and she thinks that she's smart enough to play the game. And the problem is she's playing this game as she thinks she is fan favorite, Greek chorus. I'm the relatable one. I'm going to comment on what's going on like externally. I'm going to laugh at the things that we shouldn't laugh at because like, I can't believe I'm a housewife. Right. But she's been a housewife for three seasons now. So like, I don't think that that works. And Whitney has settled into herself on the show and is playing like real life things. Right. So when the two of them are playing them at the same time, we're clashing because like you see it in the scene where, well, first you see it in the scene where Whitney's like, I'm leaving the church. Heather has a very shocked response because I think it was almost a, like, I can't believe you're doing this on camera sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And she can't really react to it. And then we also kind of see it when they're talking in the Airbnb about, I almost said Rinna, Lisa Barlow, and the drama. And Heather's like, I'm trying not to laugh. And Whitney's like, why? I don't know why you're laughing. Like they're not in the same world anymore, right? Like Whitney is like settling into real life show, and Heather is still on this high of being like fan favorite, Greek chorus, Bethany Frankel of the franchise, and she's coming across bad.
It comes across inauthentic. I don't think she's. I still am enjoying watching her. I'm still enjoying her commentary. I will forever love her relationship with her kids. So I'm enjoying her as a housewife, but I totally see what you mean. It's like Whitney is like, no, this is now my life and I'm going to share my life on TV. With Heather, it's like, no, I'm still up here in the clouds, like watching myself perform on television.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. And I, as a Lisa Barlow hater, I have turned the corner, everybody.
Was it the slide?
I cried.
I was laughing.
I cried when she was talking about the slide.
I was laughing because, and this is, I just feel like there are people, we all experience people like Lisa Barlow in life where you're like going around sharing something about a traumatic experience and they dive deep into their emotions and they say something like traumatic that happened to them. And you're like, huh, well, my grandma died, you know?
And then right. Like, you know, yes, I agree with
just,
you.
Like, don't people, some people just are in different paths in life and don't have the stuff happen to them at the same time. We can't expect that out of everyone.
No, but
it's just hilarious to see Heather. Jen is going to federal prison
for 30 plus years.
Right. Heather is deep into a cult that she's yet to fully like. She's
take herself out.
Has yet
of.
To escape the cult that she thinks she has. Whitney is dealing with
slews of issues.
Yes. And suppressed trauma. Meredith is dealing with the loss of her father. And Lisa Barlow says, well, this memory came to me and I was on a slide and our dad said, okay, one more time. And I did 20 more times. And then I like went back and was like, where is dad? And then I'm like, they just like didn't even think about me when they left. And I'm like, I think what happened was they were like, girl, we gotta go. And so they're just sitting in the car being like, trying to prove a point as parents. And also, I'm picturing Lisa Barlow going down the slide with a huge big gulp of Diet Coke at the age of 8 years old.
I kind of, I got so emotional, I literally was like tearing up because she was so upset about it. And I could tell that it was very genuine. And that's why I like don't think it's actually funny. Like, I think that this was an experience that really affected her as a person, then now a mom. And she was so taken aback by the fact that her family was just like, yeah, see you later, girl. Have a nice time.
Right.
That, like, you know, and yes, you're correct. It's like, if we put everything next to each other, you are absolutely
right. It's just crazy.
Jen is going to prison, allegedly. Not really anymore.
No, it's not going
to going to prison for 30 plus years.
She could go. Like, we don't know if she'll go yet, but she did plead guilty. Oh.
But
Jen, did you hear that horn? Jen's outside.
Yeah. She's like, free Jen Shaw.
Bitch, get outside. I have another thing with her that I want to talk about after. Sorry, keep going.
I was just going to say, last thing. It's like, we don't ever see her get... We don't ever see Lisa talk about her real fucking life. We see her talk about her kids and Vita Tequila and Strong Wolf or whatever the fuck it's called.
Fresh.
And thank you. And it all feels very surface level and financial gain. I think this is the first time I've actually remember, if it's true or not, seeing her talk about her family and her life growing up and seeing the photo of her. It just, she looks exactly like her kids. It was just so endearing to hear her like talk about her like life. And it was so relatable to hear her talk about like
talk about
things.
A slide.
Yeah. Who hasn't been left at church in a parking lot? Okay.
Same. I mean, mom lost me at SeaWorld or wherever that was.
I've been left at church before.
Remember when we left our family friend at the gas station because their parents thought they were in the car?
No.
I'm not going to say who, but okay, yes, we left.
We'll talk offline about other traumas and I'll also tell you about Ryan Murphy.
Well, something else that is bothering me, and it's not that we can't believe. So Jen had this sit down with her mom. And it was in this moment that I remember why I don't like Jen. And it's because she just screams. And like, we haven't gotten that yet this season. But like, when she was telling her mom about like her suicidal thoughts and things like that, mm-hmm. it's not that I don't believe them. I'm sure they're real. And I'm not here to delegitimize someone's mental health. But for her then, like literally the next scene, she's like high kicking in the corner talking about the like trash bag whore lingerie party, and then like the next day she's talking about she goes from 0 to 10 And mm-hmm. when you cry, when you keep crying wolf, it feels like that, right? Like she's just
fresh
like
wolf.
She when she keeps crying fresh wolf, like when is real and when is not? And it, you can tell her mom is kind of like over it. She's like, yeah. she doesn't really give her the time of day when she's saying that. She's like, okay, Jen, stop. Because like, regardless of whatever you decide to do, I'm still stuck with your kids.
It's dark, and it's on your mom.
It feels like a power move to say something like that to a parent.
Her whole arc in these last three seasons is quite literally bananas. And what I think is quite literally bananas is how we came from last season and last finale with these girls literally hating Jen Shaw, mm-hmm. except Heather. And now we are here when everybody's like, let's take a trip to support our friend. And it's like, why? Like,
I genuinely don't, but it's not really
the show to me. For some reason, to me, it would be even more interesting if there were people that still couldn't stand her. But everybody, well, that in these last three episodes, I think shit hits the fan. But
I think they do have a bond, though. I really do believe the five of them have a bond together.
Yeah, because they have a shared experience of a very rare TV show.
And even when Mary was there, yeah. it was still the five of them. Like,
yeah, I honestly forgot about Mary until they were like making those ADR comments about her.
I know, but I missed Mary. Like in that moment, I'm like, oh, I wish she was here because she is a fun. That's the one thing the show needs is we need these like funny like external characters because it gets too dark, which I'm hoping we get some levity from some of these friend ofs that are about to get into the mix. I know mm-hmm. we've kind of met one, but we have two more on the docket.
Which one we've also met before. She was in last season.
Yes, Angie. Yes, yes. I hope she's really in the mix.
Me too,
you know?
Because I really liked her last season and she just like disappeared.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was so bizarre.
Well, and so weird of the network to double down on She Who Shall Not Be Named.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But
I don't know. It was such a great episode.
It really was a great episode. And
I'm like, I was genuinely wanting the next episode already. I was like, there was a moment when I was like, should I look up blind items? And I was like, no, Kix, you're crazy.
It is literally the real Mob Wives of Salt Lake City. I'm refused to call it anything else but that because it does not feel like the same genre.
Mm-mm.
It's not the same show as the other shows.
I did cackle out loud about Heather being pissed that they were going to Arizona. She's like,
I was thinking
Arizona is literally Utah, but warmer. And she was like in a snooty attitude about it. And Whitney was like, no, we just can't go out of the country.
But remember, all they've gone to is Colorado, Vegas, Nevada, and Arizona. These all share a very similar geographical part. I'm like, I was saying to someone the other day, I'm like, we should just go to New York. She's getting tried in New York. So she can go. No, I know. But I'm saying like that could have been a fun girls weekend. She's allowed to be there. That's where she'll be when she goes to prison.
I know.
She'll be in prison in New York. She can go get the lay of the land.
Oh, boy. What a fucking mess. I'm a joyful mess.
Yes. I have one thought on Married to Medicine. I know you're not watching, but I just want to put this out there.
I should be.
I fully, and please no tagging on this, I fully think Anila had something to do with her house burglary.
Oh, my God, Tom.
I am turning on this woman because she's playing.
Is this a new house? Are they finally in that home? That big ass house they're building?
Yes, they got into that house, but all the pieces are just weird. Like, it's weirder than the PK Dorit thing because the problem is she acts. And I'm not saying she did it. I'm just saying like I don't think she's fully out of the clear. As like a part.
Okay, this is a genuine question. If you plan a robbery in your own home, are you a criminal for that? Even though it happened to yourself?
So if you
I'm asking because I'm thinking about doing it. I'm just kidding.
But here's my question, and I would like to ask a criminal this, if we can get a criminal on the pod.
Jen?
No, she's not a good criminal. I want like a smart criminal. I want to ask someone, if you say you're drowning in credit card debt and you got robbed and they stole like all this shit that you bought on a credit card, could you get refunded on your credit card because the stuff is gone? Yes. Loss prevention.
Yes.
That's all I'll say. Also, she keeps staging things. She thinks that everyone is too smart to catch on to. I don't know if you heard about her staging this, like, they fired her nanny. And then, like, her mom came in to be the nanny for the season. And miraculously, it isn't working out. And so they hired the nanny back. And the nanny was, like, miraculously available. She said she moved to Houston. And then they called her and were like, want to come back? When she left, the kids, she literally said to the kids, were like, will we see you again? And the nanny goes, you will never see me again.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
No, it was awful. I'm like, this is awful. Like, you can't just strip the nanny away from him. She left on her own accord, quote unquote. She was like, I cannot be here anymore. I must leave.
That sounds like an affair.
Right. And then they call her in Houston, aka at the DoubleTree down the street. They're like, time for you to come back. And she's like, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. I'm like, what are we doing? So between that and the robbery, I'm just, my ears are perking up at Miss Anila.
Well, the reunion's about to happen. Correct, right?
Or is it? Yeah, they filmed it, but well, it'll be happening a little bit. Oh. But that's just some Married to Medicine thoughts. Oops. And once again, I'm not saying that she robbed herself. I just mean, like, I can't imagine that she's completely out of the loop. It's a gated community, and they don't have like footage, I think, of the gates in the community. And then, like, it's just, there's some weird shit.
Party. I'm just kidding.
I just wish you'd watch, because I also want to talk about Quad.
No.
But I didn't know
she was. Is she full time?
Yeah.
Because she wasn't last season.
She was only friend of last season, but she's full time again.
Was she full time then friend of?
Yeah, she did the Luann, the full time friend of. Full time.
Got it.
They didn't know what to do with her because she wasn't married to Medicine, but they're like, you're an integral part of this. You were married to Medicine, so.
So, there it is.
And my last thought about Married to Medicine is I just want them to throw them in the mix of the Ultimate Girls Trip vacations. Because I don't know.
They should.
They essentially are Real Housewives of Atlanta Part 2.
Yeah.
They live, like, within them. They're all at the same parties. They throw parties together.
Also, both excellent television.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not getting, like, a subpar, like...
Or what if we did in Atlanta and Married to Medicine Getaway?
I would love that.
And we had, like, Heavenly, Simone, Quad, Portia, Candy, and Kenya.
Sounds like a dream.
Oh, my God. That's a show right there.
That's it.
But we should wrap up. Any final thoughts?
No. I'm thinking about all the things I need to be watching. Married to Medicine, Girls in Paris.
Don't watch that.
Below Deck looks fucking good.
Does it?
Yeah. Sorry.
I come into Below Deck. I have to be on the right wavelength for that. Right now in spooky season, so I'm watching Same. So much scary shit that I don't really have time for that.
Do you want to give any hot takes about some new spookies you've been watching?
Like movies?
Shows, movies, politicals. Things.
Political things. What do you mean?
I'm just kidding. Shows or movies.
No, but we do have our spooky season Halloween series here on the podcast. So by the time you're listening to this, I assume you have listened to our episode with Donnie and Chelsea of I'm the Cute One. We covered Real Slice of Dallas season 2, episode 3. Face to Face, I believe that's called.
I listened and was cackling. It is literally funny. LOLing
Donnie,
at Donnie 7 a.m.
The thing that I love about Donnie is he just goes places where you're like, yikes, but I'm laughing and I didn't say it. So. and then this upcoming week we have Steve of Faces by Bravo on, and we chat about Real Housewives of Potomac. season 4, episode 12, Good Will Hunting. And it is the episode where they dive into all of the Michael stuff. It's when he like got relieved of the charges, and then they show the raw footage of him grabbing the ass. Disgusting. I forgot about all of that.
I didn't.
The raw footage of, you can hear the cameraman being like, please
don't
do that.
At Monique's party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Like, it's such a fever dream with them, don't you think? Like, you've like forget, like with Potomac, because they've just had so many good seasons that you kind of get lost in all the things happening. And I know,
well,
the
next
new season
week
starts. I can't
next
wait to start
week
covering
we'll be
it.
Covering it, and I can't fucking wait.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow me at the Tom Hamlet, and you can follow Kix
at Kix Hamlet. That's spelled C-I-X.
Yep. And then the podcast is Dumpster Dive Pod on IG, and follow us at 2 Dumpster Divas on TikTok. By the time you are listening to this, there may be a TikTok up, or sometime this weekend.
Yeah,
sometime this weekend, a reaction video of Beverly Hills trailer. So check that out, and bye.